just all over the country, out watching for storms, chasing storms. Okay, we've got somebody else with us here, and we're just gonna find out who this is. Hello.
Oh, hi, Ted. This is Gary Wilson, K2GW, from New Jersey. I'm the Section Emergency Coordinator for Southern New Jersey, and we spoke on email yesterday.
Yes, sir. That's right. We did. We were up late last night, and I was still getting some emails in, and I was replying to them as best I could. But tell us where you're set up, and tell us about your setup, and how it's all going over there.
Well, as a section emergency coordinator, I get to visit a bunch of them, so I get to see a whole bunch of hams.
That's right.
A lot of fun.
Wrong question for a section emergency coordinator, and I keep laughing and telling everybody, my brain is running on QRP. We were up all night last night, so you said who you are, and here I am in the other mode.
Oh,
well, tell us about all the multiple locations that you've been able to see and visit and talk to today.
Well, I get out to, basically, I cover the northern half of the section for our section manager, and she covers the bottom half. But I was out to W2ZQ, which is the Delaware Valley Radio Association. They're set up in Mercer County Park, and they have a great setup with lots of masts and all ready to go in full emergency-type mode. So very, very good to see them. And I'm about to head over to N2RE, the Sarnoff Radio Club, which is the old RCA Laboratories in Princeton. And they have a lot of fun. They do something very unusual. They run like seven Echo or something, whatever it is, seven Bravo, where they all run all QRP off of batteries. And they generally win that category because they're the only one in the country. But they have a lot of fun doing it. And so it's just great to see everybody getting out and practicing some emergency skills and having fun. And I was amazed yesterday to find out that there are over 1,500 of these places for the public to go out and visit this weekend. There's a new locator on the ARRL website, and I did some analysis there.
Well, that locator is really a godsend. I mean, you go up there and put in a zip code or a city or something, and I mean, it tells you everywhere. And I know I was talking to a television station, and they. Big fellow is looking it up, and he says, "Oh my gosh, there's about five different operations going on within a mile of my hometown or where I grew up." And he was really impressed with that.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. I mean, in our area, well, New Jersey's two sections, but in New Jersey, and we're a reasonably small state, we have 34 of them operating, and that's absolutely amazing for the third smallest state in the country. You know?
What is the, I guess I want to say, what is the most unusual thing that you've seen at Field Day that's going on that you've observed? Something would be really interesting to tell folks about.
Well, some of the more interesting ones are just some of the food at some of the places. I mean, some places, you know, this is the picnic for the guys. And the one place I go to, they accuse me of always showing up for dinner there because they have a guy who runs a restaurant. So he's a ham, and he makes sure it gets catered. And they always have lasagna and everything. The other ones is the guys over at the Sarnoff Club have a very unusual thing. Now, you remember, they're running all QRP, 5 watts or less, and they only have a generator there to charge the batteries. But they work very closely with the Red Cross, and the Red Cross provides them with this humongous generator, which is more than they ever need, because the Red Cross likes them to practice, you know, give it some use. Like all good equipment, you got to use it regularly to keep it working. So what they use the generator for is for heating their waffle iron on Sunday morning. They make Belgian waffles in the field.
Well, I was talking to Alan Pitts, and we were discussing Field Day, and the food came up in the discussion, and I said to Alan, I said, this is your opportunity to get, you know, a level above the Hamfest hot dog.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, some of it is incredible. The other ones are some of the guys, you know, solar panels and folding solar panels and operating that way, little portable beams for 6 meters. But the guys I like to concentrate on are the ones who actually have, you know, antennas that we could really use as part of go kits and limit themselves to things they can set up in less than an hour. And that's a very important emergency skill. You know, you see some of the pictures of the guys putting up big tri-banders and everything like that. But the guys who use this as a way of testing out their go kits impress me, because obviously that's my interest as an emergency coordinator.
Yeah, you know, that's one thing about, you know, right after a tornado or something very, very devastating, the ability to immediately respond and to set up an antenna. You know, just to be able to go into an area where there isn't anything and get something launched in the air that that's going to work. It's a skill. So without any practice, it's you know, it take a little bit of doing. But these guys get so good at it that it's scary.
Yeah, yeah. And the way you know, so many people get practice, and so many clubs have their own generators for, you know, mostly for field day. But it's just a godsend when a real disaster occurs that they've got the ability to create power.
Well, I was talking to W2HO is the I think the club call sign, and I can't remember. I think they're in. I'm trying to think of they in Orange County, New York. Maybe not. Maybe I've got them confused. But anyways. They were the ones tuning up the flagpole on 40 meters. We had them on a little while ago, so that was so that's it. So if you can find a flagpole standing, you can get on the air. Well, tell me, you started to say something. I interrupted you, so continue what you were about to say.
Oh, the other thing that was interesting was the guys who, you know, we talk about sending messages, and everybody thinks of sometimes ham radio is a little old-fashioned. The guys who had the laptop computer, and they have the little, you know, the Kenwood HT, the one that has the TNC built in, so they can hook their computer up to it. You know, you get points for sending National Traffic System messages. You know, there's a special skill for that. Well, they have them all preloaded as a file, and they just push the button, and that little radio is taking the stuff from the computer, sending it out to a packet bulletin board where it goes into the National Traffic System. And they're sending 14 messages in about 7 minutes.
Wow. Well, we just had Captain Jeff Hammer call from Iraq, and they're a little north of Baghdad. And they were going to attempt running packet into here to see if we couldn't if they couldn't hook up with the States today. And also, you may want to say hello. We got Dr. Barrett with us. Dr. Barrett is a specialist in portable antennas because he owns the TW Antenna Company.
Oh, great.
And we were just talking about being able to set up and tear down. Just say hello to him and converse just a moment or two here.
Sure, that sounds great. Well, maybe you can tell me a little bit about your antennas. Anything that we can quickly deploy is a godsend in an emergency.
Well, let me. What we have right now is the TW2010, which is a you know, goes 10, 12, 15, 17, and 20 meters. It's about 6 foot 10 inches tall. It folds up. You can put it in its own carrying bag. It'll go in the trunk of your car. It'll go in. You can send it through the airplane. I took one to Yellowstone Park a few weeks ago, and it's. I will certify to you, and have a witness here sitting in the room with me, that you can put it up and take it down in a snowstorm in about 3 to 5 minutes. And I worked 38 states in about 2 hours on 17 meter when. The solar flux, Ted, was the lowest that the ARRL had been keeping records on. It was about a 64. But that would be of some benefit to you. Also, I found out, I'll pitch this, he's listening, but I found out while I was in Orlando last week that the thing is flat on 2 meter FM and sideband, and it's also, the SWR is flat on 70 centimeter. Sideband and FM, so you could you don't have to have one antenna. So we didn't sell it that way, but it just worked out that way. We've got the 8020 coming out, which is probably more interesting to him. The smaller version, which would let him be on the air in about 5 minutes on 80, 60, 40, 30, and 20 meters. So watch the website up there. It's www.twantennas.com, and maybe in about another 30 days, that 8020 might pique your interest. They're probably not doing a lot of DXing there at the emergency center, but that 8020 might be something they're interested in, Ted.
Sure. Well, that's very important. Actually, the antennas are probably of most use, I guess, in emergency communications. 90% of our stuff tends to be 2 meter FM because that's what everybody has, short distance. But for long distance, you see a lot of at least in New Jersey, we do a lot of NVIS stuff on 75 meters and some 40 meters. And so people have improvised in some interesting antennas, crossed inverted V's for folks to do some of that. So that's great. Hey, and I do want to say, Ted, one thing is I want all the hams to understand they really are appreciated. Here in New Jersey, the state just put in a grant and just received money to fund 24 shelter trailers. These are trailers, not that anybody would sleep in, but they would be filled with cots so you could open 24 shelters in the event of a big emergency. Not so much in New Jersey, but we would be often possibly receiving people from New York City or Philadelphia. The Red Cross went to bat with us when they were equipping these trailers, and each of those trailers is going to have an amateur radio kit for 2 meters, 440, 220 antennas, feed lines, and a little Honda generator. And I just thought that was amazing because of the record of the folks here in New Jersey of how they've helped out in 9/11 and the blackouts and blizzards and everything like that, that amateur radio is really taken seriously by the emergency management folks. And it's things like field day where people get to practice those skills so that when real things come along, they're ready. So I just want to say hello to everybody and have fun and be safe, over.
And, you know, one thing I want to have you do, and that is you were talking about hams being appreciated. I think this field day is a chance where ham radio really gets a chance to shine and be the bright light, I guess I'm going to say, because the public has a chance to interface us in a non-emergency situation. So we do have the fun involved in that. And would you say, I mean, okay, now let me ask this. How many groups right now, how many field day groups are within your jurisdiction at this point in time across New Jersey?
Well, it always gets a little confusing in the statistics, but I would say in southern, we have two sections in New Jersey. It's a very unusual state. We actually have two sections. Within the state as a whole, we've got 34. Within southern New Jersey, I would say we've got about 14 of those. It's the northern half of the state is more really populated. There's about 20 up there. So, but My counterpart up north, who is Steve Ostrod recently, and just replaced by George Sablin, we're kind of joined at the hip, so we do things on a statewide basis. And there is one other interesting thing about New Jersey, as most people don't realize, is that we are the head of disaster services for the Red Cross in New Jersey is K2URT, and the head of the communications section for the Office of Emergency Management and the New Jersey State Police is N2HX. And in New Jersey, a county's emergency plan cannot be approved unless it has a fully functioning RACES and ham radio section in there as an annex. And they require monthly participation from each of the county EOCs and Red Cross chapters each month. And so as a result, we've got permanent stations in every one of those EOCs, and they get tested on a monthly basis. So the folks know us, and our guys always are volunteering to show up and make sure those things are working.
Well, I thank you so much for calling in. And if you're going to be out and about this evening, be sure and call back, because that's that'll be a whole different time frame. We're reaching into different parts of the world at that hour. And folks would love to hear from you then. And I really appreciate you calling in. And you have a good field day too, sir.
Okay, you take care, Ted. And once again, thanks for helping to publicize what a great hobby and public service folks are doing here.
Well, the hobby has been extremely good to me. So this is no thank you needed, believe me. Thank you for calling.
Right, bye.
Bye-bye. Well, there you have it. We've got folks basically all over the country and all over the world that are participating.
You go from Iraq to the Garden State, Ted. I mean, you've got them all calling you today.
So, and I guess Matt's got somebody else there that will be joining us very, very shortly. When we were talking earlier about being able to deploy an antenna quickly in an emergency, you know, being able to get on the air, you know, quickly. You don't think about that, but man, you know, you don't have a lot of. Sometimes you don't have a lot of time, you know, in some sort of a specific situation you could get into. You need to get moving quick. All right, we have a caller now. You know, he nods his head, but he won't let me know for sure what's going on here. All right. Hello.
Hi. Hi, how are you, Ted?
Pretty good. Is this Christine?
This is Christine, K1SFA.
And you're calling from Newington, Connecticut.
From Newington, Connecticut at W1AW.
My goodness.
Yes.
Now, how do we rate that? How do we get... You know, this is the top dog radio station of the whole world, so how do we rate you calling us like this?
Well, you know, there was a great story written on the ARRL website about you guys. Hey, I wrote it. Thought we'd call in and just say hi.
Well, very, very good. So what's going on at W1AW right now?
Let's see. We've got some RITI going on, some CW and some phone, and having a good time.
What is the normal operation, I mean, for W1AW during field day? How many folks do you get a big crowd there? Or how many operators do you have?
Well,
and how many folks?
This year it's kind of small. We're running 3 Foxtrot. Last year we had a big party here kind of thing and had a lot of people. But this year it's a little bit more intimate.
I was just curious because I would think that being what it is, that you folks would be... You'd be swamped with operators. It'd be people.
Anyone is certainly welcome to come and operate here. That's especially with this new field day locator service that the league has put up. We're registered on it, and anyone is welcome to stop by. And they're welcome, you know, just come on in and get on the air.
Well, tell me a little bit about your position with the league. What do you do with the air?
I'm the news editor.
And
I do all the news that's on the website. I do the ARRL letter that goes out to about 70,000 members a week. And I do the ARRL audio news as well.
Well, very, very good. You know, I would like to encourage folks that are listening right now to this broadcast to join the league. If you're a ham and you're not a member, this is something that I don't think people even realize. And in talking with Alan Pitts on a pretty regular basis, you know, I never dreamed the league was involved with so many different things. And was such a champion to the hobby in areas that nobody even knows about sometimes.
It's amazing. I learn something new every day.
And I've got Dr. Barrett here with me, and he was just getting ready to say something.
Hey, Christine, how are you today?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Great. Listen, we worked, we had a call-in from 3 American heroes, soldiers over in Iraq, a little north of Baghdad, in a sandstorm. And they're on 14.070 megahertz, about 400 hertz, working PSK-31. And they're sending out CQ-USA. So if you guys have anybody anywhere at W1AW or anybody you send out bulletins to, those guys, there's Captain Hammer and 2 non-hams that he's got on the... I guess get on the air station there, Ted, but they'd really like to work some folks stateside on PSK-31. They didn't think they could do it on phone or CW, Christine. But
well, it sounds like you just put the word out, so we'll go with that. I don't know if we can do that in our bulletins or not, but I think you just put it out yourself.
Very good. Well, I know they would appreciate that. And, hey, we appreciate the ARRL. You guys are on the ball doing a good job, and I know you get a lot of complaining, but when you get some complaints from folks out in the field, you know you're doing something. So you guys defend the frequency, you promote our interest, and we really appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, I was going to say that to me, you know, ever since I was, you know, I grew up reading ARRL publications. I mean, there's nothing like the American Radio Relay League Amateur Radio Handbook.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go into commercial broadcast radio, the funny thing about it all is almost every broadcast station in the country where there's a full-time engineer, you look on the bookshelf and you will find
that book.
They'll have a copy of the ARRL handbook and all the different antenna books. I mean, you can just get, you know, I wonder what would it be, what would amateur radio or the amateur radio world be like if the league weren't there. You know, I mean, I've thought about that an awful lot, and I think that really ought to encourage a lot of folks to make sure that they are a member and that they do participate, because it's a fantastic thing that the league does.
Well, thank you very much.
And we appreciate all the hard work that you folks can. Go ahead.
Christine, let me, you know, Ted, I like the color. Tell us if there's any ARRL dignitaries there other than yourself. I mean, is anybody...
Let's see. I've got Joe Karsha, the station manager. Sean Kutzko, KX9X. He's the contest branch manager. And Bill Moore, NC1L, who's the DXCC desk manager.
All right. Reckon I can get my cards checked if I get them to him.
Well, just send them on. You know, he'll do what he does with them.
All righty. Thanks for letting us know who all's there, Christine.
Thank you.
To interrupt you, Ted.
No, that's quite all right. You know, I've been teasing everybody because we were up really late setting up, and I keep saying, you know, if I don't make a whole lot of sense, it's because my brain is running QRP today. And I appreciate so much what you all are doing, and thank you for calling in. And be sure if you're up and about tonight, call in because we have a whole different target area tonight. Different people will be listening, and you may have some interesting stories to tell about what's happened today.
We'll see what we can do.
All righty. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Bye bye.
Well, Newington, Connecticut. See, we've worked Baghdad. We've worked Newington here. we're having more fun than the law allows.
And we send out, QSL cards, don't you?
Yes.
Tell about that. You may have some first-time listeners.
Well, yes, we have the QSO QSL card. That's a little hard to say. I never thought about it that way. The QSO QSL card. I did it. Yeah. And you can get those. Just jump up on the website. TedRandall.com and shoot us an email. Be happy to send you a QSL card. And of course, the TW Antenna Company's got this contest going where it's I Work Dave. If you can work Dave on the TW 2010, you get a certificate. And
Dave's a QRT behind me right now. He's got a lot of barbecue and beans and potato salad and. He's been a QRT for about the last 40 minutes, Dave, but he'll be back on the band probably in about another 20, 30 minutes, so maybe somebody can work him.
Yeah, that I Work Dave contest is cool because you get a certificate from the TW Antenna Company, and then we're going to put everybody's name in a hat and have a drawing, but we haven't yet determined what that we've never firmed this up with. What was the grand prize going to be? How is that going to work?
We're leaning toward an 80-20. It depends on how long we run the contest. It may just be the 2010 and all the accessories. But if we run it probably another 30 days, we'll probably give away the 80-20. We may give them a choice, Ted. They can either take the 80-20 or the 2010. But that's where we're leaning.
There you go. We're broadcasting live. This is Field Day 2008. And we're on WBCQ. And once again, thank you to Al Wiener and all the folks at WBCQ for helping us make this happen. We have a caller on the line here. Hello there. Hello.
Hello.
Is this Wayne?
Yes, this is Wayne.
And you're located where, Wayne?
I'm calling from El Dorado Park in Southern California. The name of our radio club is the Associated Radio Amateurs of Long Beach. And for your listeners out there with an internet connection or computer, they can Google search ARALB and learn about our club. This is the club that usually operates from the Queen Mary W6RO or W6 Radio Oscar. It's a nice sunny day in Southern California. We have Morse code stations. We have a laser demonstration station. We've got a station here that operates on 10 gigahertz. That's 10,000 megahertz or 10 gigahertz. I'm trying to look at the map here to see how many different states we've contacted over the last few minutes. Let's see. All over Southern and Central and Northern California, Oregon. A couple of provinces in Canada, as well as Montana, Utah, Colorado, Arizona, Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, Tennessee, North Carolina, Virginia. We're still trying to capture the East Coast a little bit farther, but hopefully that'll happen soon.
We've got, it sounds like a storm brewing up here. I'm hearing crackling in my headphones. If we disappear, you'll know what happened here. So, okay, tell us about your organization.
It's a Morse code station we have back here in the background.
Yeah, we're hearing that CQ come in real loud and clear here. Tell us a little bit about your club altogether. What y'all do and how many members, how long you've been at this?
Yes, actually, once again, this is our club station call sign is W6RO. It's the Associated Radio Amateurs of Long Beach, and I'm actually going to find one of the club officers here, and he can tell you about the history of the club. Hang on one second. This is Michael, W6MJF. Michael, tell the shortwave audience there a little bit of the club and what we do here at W6RO.
Who am I speaking to?
This is the radio station.
Right, what's the guy's name? Hi, this is Michael, W6MJF. Who am I speaking with?
What's the guy's name? I'm Ted, Michael, and I've also got another Michael here with me who is with the TW Antenna Company. And welcome aboard, and hope you're having a good field day.
Oh, it's great. Mild weather and good crowds, so we're doing very well today.
Well, tell us about your organization. I'm curious as to how long you've been an organization, how many members you've got, and a little bit about all what you do.
Sure. Well, this is Associated Radio Amateurs of Long Beach, ARALB, and we can be found at aralb.org on the Internet. And let's see, a little bit about us. We've been out for about 81, 82 years as an organization and have been involved in emergency backup communications to the police and fire department, as well as every aspect of our hobby for all of those 80 years.
My goodness. I mean, you folks go back to the very beginnings of amateur radio.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, we've got a picture of some of our folks who participated in the relief efforts for the 1933 earthquake that we suffered here in Long Beach. There were ARALB hams working the relief centers, so our people have been doing emergency communication for a long time.
Well, that's incredible.
I was wondering what the oldest member, who have you got the oldest member there in the club, 20
well,
years, 30 years, 40 years?
Our oldest member is probably our greatest member, and that is Nate Brightman, N6OSC. He is still is the manager of W6RO, which is our flagship station on board the Queen Mary. And that's our club station. So if you are a ham radio operator and you'd like to operate the Queen Mary, we can set up a schedule for you. If you got a ham radio license, you operate with the privileges of the...